Amen. All right. All right. Imagine if this would be a continuation of our last week's message on properly to approach God. Amen. There's a way that we can approach God to expect nothing. And there's a way that we can approach God to expect something. Amen. So you can't just go to God anyway. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must
believe that he is.
You got to come to God with the mindset of believing that God will answer our petition. Amen. Whatever our request is. That's the mindset that we have to come have in approaching God. So in Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 9 and read verses 9 through 19. Amen. Actually, what we do, we read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, and then I read the rest. Okay? So let's read verse 1 and then we'll pray. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. Amen. That's good enough. The foundation of salvation is what he's dealing with. He names verses 1 and 2. He talks about the foundation. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for just a mind to be in church. Lord, thank you for a mind to believe that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek thee. And Lord, tonight we just ask you to continue to bless. Lord, continue to open our eyes of understanding. Lord, continue to enlighten our eyes, Lord, that we may know what the will of the Lord is. Lord, help us tonight not to be unwise. Father God, but make us to know what your will is. And then as we know your will, Lord, give us a mind to walk in your will. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Truly, we just honor the Lord tonight. And as Sister Carol, we said earlier, last week we went on how or the way we approach God. Amen. How we approach God or the way we approach God. And last week we dealt with commensurate deliverance. How many know that God is not mocked?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said God is not mocked, and God does not mock our prayer, as we went over last week. If we ask God for something, he does not give us an imitation. God does not give us a duplication. But God gives us just what we ask for. Now the question tonight, I know all of us have many petitions that we place before God and then on the altar. How are we presenting our petitions to God? Amen. And what mindset? Now there's a godly way to approach God. Then there is an ungodly way. Once again, there is a godly way to approach God. Then there is an ungodly way. The godly way is we approach God broken and contrite. Amen. Humble. And we just say, Lord, you know, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know who holds tomorrow. But the reason I come to you is because I know that
you hold tomorrow.
You hold tomorrow. That's broken. Amen. Then there's another way, the ungodly way, we can go to God with the finger of blame. Amen. Accusatory. And asking God why. Well, Paul in writing Hebrews, he said, you know, it's time to leave the principles of the doctrine. And it's time for us to go on to
perfection.
This way we're never going to be perfect as long as we deserve. In this body, that's what the Bible says, God will present us
faultless
are in a perfect state. We cannot attain that by ourselves, but God will present us. Amen. And tonight, hopefully we'll get far enough until we're going to deal with King Hezekiah, and he has some mighty things that were said about him from God. But even Hezekiah, through the process of time, lost his spiritual equilibrium. Amen. When you lose your spiritual equilibrium, now, anybody ever lose your equilibrium?
Amen.
He walking, he falling, he stumbling, he trembling. It's like, wow, what's wrong with me? Okay. Half of everybody else might not have to, some of you. But I've seen y'all stumbling in the trembling. Amen. So when you lose your equilibrium or you lose your balance, you don't stand up as walk as straight and as firmly as you used to because you don't have the balance. Well, the devil knows in the church, if he can throw our spiritual equilibrium off, we lose our proper spiritual balance. And when we lose our spiritual balance, our spiritual equilibrium is no longer going towards perfection. Amen. When we lose that balance. Because when there's some people have had strokes and you know, different things, and they have to go through therapy. Why do they go through therapy? Because their balance is off. So you have to teach them, once again, what are the principles of life. You have to teach them how to walk. There's some you have to teach how to talk all over again. There's some you have to teach how to eat, because they've lost that balance because of something internally that has thrown everything off. Tonight in church, what internally has thrown off our spiritual equilibrium? Amen. How are we off track? Let's go to verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 6. He said, now it's time to go on to perfection. And he goes on, verses 2 through 8, he describes the things that we have to overcome and put past us. Amen. He even talks about when we don't do the things properly before for God, and when we dishonor God in our lives, we put him to an open shame, and that we crucify the Son of God afresh when we're not going towards perfection. Because in Christ, you will either progress or you will
regress.
There is no such thing as a middle ground. And the book of Revelation says it like this concerning the Laodicean church. He said, if you're lukewarm, God will what? Well, part of being lukewarm is losing your spiritual equilibrium. Amen. Things all. First I read, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So he said, we persuaded what? Better things, because we're going on to what?
Perfection.
Amen. We do not stay a child all of our lives. We go on to more perfection or maturity. For God, and this is what you have to always keep in mind. Amen. A lot of times we think there's unrighteousness in God. We feel so, God, I'm doing everything. What is wrong with you? We say, I don't say that. No, you don't say it with your words, but we say it in our spiritual equilibrium of our actions. We don't say it in word, but we say it in our actions. But he said, remember this, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of
love.
Work and labor of love, which you show towards his name, and that you what? Have ministered and
minister.
Now a lot of us have ministered. The challenge of the question tonight is, are we still ministering? Amen. We did run well, Paul told the church of Galatians. But what does you did pray well? What does you were faithful in coming to church? What does you were faithful in paying your tithes and offering and giving God the praise? What does your spiritual equilibrium is off? Amen. So when your spiritual equilibrium is off, you have to start all over again from the principles of the doctrine. He said that you have ministered and do minister to the saints. And we desire that every one of you do show the same. Don't change. Amen. Don't, what God has blessed you to do, what God has blessed you to accomplish, don't lose it. Amen. Don't shake it off. He said, show the same full assurance when? Until the end. And now, you know, salvation is about personal examination. Amen. I know how I started off. I know when I got saved, man. I guess I was like a wild maverick on the loose. Amen. I turned my job upside down. People wanted to fight me, and I was newly saved. I just didn't know any better. Amen. So I'm not saying I did the right things. lot of things I did wrong. Amen. When I look back, but you don't need to know that. I'm just saying for me. You tell me your own self. I'm saying when I first got saved, they almost wanted to throw me off the job. Y'all know who my father is. Y'all can't throw me off this job. Amen. I just caused all kind of havoc. I mean, I was attacking Baptists. I was attacking Catholics. I was attacking everyone. Matter of fact, one guy said, man, you better be careful. He said, you keep running your mouth. One day you go leave for work, you won't make it back home. Made me think a little bit. I calmed down a little bit, but didn't keep me down too long. Because, why, you know what? I had a fire and a zeal for God. Amen. So I said I wasn't going to tell.
Nobody.
Come on. I said I wasn't going to tell.
Nobody.
But I could not keep it.
Myself.
Amen. So that's how I started out. But then if my testimony, amen, my witness, if it's waning, what does hinder me? What is thrown off my spiritual equilibrium? Amen. So he says, so the full assurance of hope. Amen. Has anyone lost your hope?
Jesus.
Have you lost your hope because of situations, amen, that have not changed? Have you lost your hope because of loved ones that have not gotten saved? Have you lost your hope because of things you thought you should have had, you should have had? That you thought you should have had by now, you do not have. Have you lost hope? Amen. The Bible said, if we hope for that that we see not, then do we with
patience
wait for it. The problem in church is we just don't have patience anymore. Amen. And because our patience is short, we find fault with God. And we lose hope. But the Bible said, hope maketh not ashamed. As long as we're hoping in Christ, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I heard a preacher say, well, there's a big difference between possibility and probability. And I heard the teaching, but it never settled in my spirit. Because if there's a big difference between possibility and probability, then there's no way in the world Israel should have crossed the Red Sea. Because that was possible, but that was not
probable.
Amen?
Amen?
So it just never, I heard it, but I couldn't. It didn't settle in my spirit. I said, well, if there's a big difference between it's possible and it's not probable, when Jesus said all things are
possible.
Amen. So I can't allow someone else's teaching to throw off my spiritual equilibrium. Because if all things are possible but not probable, how in the world did the children of Israel come to the wall of Jericho? Didn't have a cannon, didn't have a nothing, and just that praise of God brought down the walls. In today's term, that was possible, but it should not have been
probable.
Amen. So when I deal with God, I do not deal based on what everybody else thinks, because that's eliminating God. I said, when I think about God, I think that he went to see about Lazarus.
Come on.
Talk about possibility and probability.
Right.
Now, if we go by the world standard, when you're dead, you're what?
Yeah.
Can I get some
help?
When they die, they what?
Oh.
When you put them in the ground, you do not go, if you put them in the ground on Monday, you don't go look for them on Wednesday, right?
Come on,
right? Amen? Because possible, yes, but probable, but I heard Jesus say, all power, we cannot lose our spiritual equilibrium. Amen. So they said, well, you don't have this, you don't have that. Jesus didn't have no PhD behind his name. Hallelujah. But he had all power in heaven and in earth. So when he came to the grave, the probability of Lazarus coming back to life was zilch. Because he was dead in the grave for... Now, how many of you know when something's in the grave is finished? So now, you can't go by man's standards for God. How many of us have lost hope for God? Because we say, well, it's possible, but in all actuality, that God cannot do this. What I'm saying is I cannot allow my equilibrium to be thrown off. Amen. If I go to the doctors and they tell me one thing and they say, you know what, the percentages of you overcoming the beatness are probably 90% against you. Do you throw God in for just 1%? Can you just give me God for 0.5%? Because my 0.5% with God assures me that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the whole. So with God, all I need is a little percentage. Amen. And God knows how to take my little and make it much. Amen. But let's continue on here. He says, and we desire that every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. Abraham hoped against hope. Amen. Hope against hope was Abraham's body was no longer producing what needed to be born for a child to be born, and neither was Sarah's. So when you put two bodies together that are no longer able to procreate, then the conclusion is the only way you're going to get a child is you're going to go adopt one. Amen. Amen. But Abraham against hope believed in hope. Come on, church, we got to go beyond the limitations. Because with men, these things are, but not with God. That ye be not slothful. Amen. Slothful is, brother or sister, what aren't you doing? Oh, I just don't have the energy anymore. Be not slothful. Amen. Pick yourself up. Amen. Whatever you have to do, get yourself moving, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through. That's the number one thing you gotta have first is what?
Faith.
Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Them who through faith and inherited the
promise.
Amen. Where's your faith tonight? Where's your patience? You cannot get the promise unless you get rid of that slothfulness. You know, I'm just apathetic. I just, whatever life takes me, I give. We must be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Let's get down to verse 17. Amen. You can read the in-betweens for yourself. No, verse 15 first. Let me do verse 15. It says, and so after he had patiently
endured.
Amen. Are you patiently enduring? Are you ready to quit and give up? Are we patiently? Patiently enduring means I'm just waiting on the Lord. And because I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm going to be of good courage. Because I know that he will strengthen my heart. Then the psalm said, so wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. So it says, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now verse 17 reads, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of salvation the immutability. This is where it really is real with God. Amen. As we said, St. John 10:35, Jesus was speaking, he said, the scriptures cannot be broken. Amen. Whatever God has in this word, I don't care who tries to change it or alter it. Jesus said it cannot be broken. So he says here that God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of salvation of the promise of immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two when you come to God, you don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. Amen. Jesus said his word is going to stand forever. He said not one jot or not one tittle. You know what I mean? The smallest little accent. The smallest little mark. Because in the Hebrew, they use a lot of accents and mark. He said not one little thing is going to change until all be fulfilled. So what are we standing on God's word? Because he has made us a promise that it cannot be altered. Immutable means what God has said he's going to perform it. What God has said he's going to make it good. Amen. So that makes it immutable. It says, which hope we have in the anchor of the soul, both sure and I'm set for the gospel.
Amen.
Sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. Tonight we're dealing with confidence in God. Confidence in who?
God.
Not an individual, not a man, but confidence in God. And let's go down to verse 35. Verse 35. We approach God many different ways. But what way are you approaching God? Amen. Do we approach God believing that He is and that He is a reward of them that
diligently
seek Him? Do we approach God because He said, well, He said, pray, so I'll pray. Amen. Prayer without expectation is a waste of time. Once again, prayer without expectation is a waste of time. Because he that comes to God must
believe.
You got to expect that God is going to answer our petition. Amen. As we go over commensurate deliverance, your deliverance will be in same relationship to your prayer life. Amen. So 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your who your confidence in, man? Is it in the church? Amen. Is it in the pastor? Cast not therefore you away your because it has what?
Recompense.
When you have confidence in God, God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask for. So he said, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward in verse 36. The problem is you have need of that after you have done the what? Will of God. Amen. Lord, help me not to be unwise, but help me to understand what the will of the Lord is. Then after I've done your will, God, give me some patience. Amen. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. We're dealing with how we approach God. What is our mindset? Do we go to God broken, crying? Now, there's a brokenness that we're supposed to have when we go before God in the sense of being humble. Amen. Lord, whatever you say, whatever you do, I'll do it. Then there's a brokenness when we go to God. All we can do, we can't even get a word out because we can't stop crying. Amen. That's not what God wants. Amen. And we all have some low moments, but they should be what? Far and few in between. We have some brokenness. We have some low moments. There are some times when life does not make sense. But as the Lord asked Philip on Sunday, he said, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? He asked Philip that to what? Prove him. Well, why was he proving him? Because God already knew how he was going to work it out. Amen. In a lot of our situations, God is asking us, well, he's putting us in a position where he's testing us. Amen. To see what is our faith reaction. Amen. What is our spiritual reaction? So God puts us in a place so he can test us because he already knows what he's going to do. And then in the case of Philip said, Lord, how are we going to do? You ask me. Oh, everywhere you see thousands and thousands of people. All we got is five loaves and two little fish. Jesus said, that's all I need is a little bit. That's why the Bible said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now the mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds in the earth. But when it begins to germinate and grow, it flourishes into one of the greatest trees. God only needs a little bit. He said, all you got is five loaves and two fish. He said, that's more than enough for me. Now, you know what? All of us say that that's possible, but that's highly
improbable.
That's improbable. That's just, You know, somebody said, call, pull Jesus aside. Amen? And let's talk to him. Something's wrong with him. But Jesus did the right thing. When he got the little bit, he looked up to heaven and blessed what he had. You want God to give you something more? Start blessing him for what you already have. And he said, no, you know, now, he did not, the disciples could not give to the people before they got it from Jesus. If you're trying to get some help, you go to somebody else and you leave God out, amen, wrong direction. If you're trying to get some help, and you're going to somebody else before God, wrong direction. Amen. Put on the brakes. And as District Elder Miller would say, I can't do it like him. He said, put that thing in reverse. Amen. And start on the rewind. Amen. Rewind and start all over again. Jesus said, bring me the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And while I'm doing my part, you make the people sit down. And then the scripture said, when they brought it to him, he took, and they were surprised, because every time he dished out, there was even more. Then after he fed the 5,000 men, not including the women and children, he said, now gather up the fragments and nothing be lost. What are the little things in our life that have not changed? The issue is not God. The issue is our faith. The issue is not that God cannot fix it. The issue is that we won't allow God to fix it. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 18. I go through this fast. My wife said, you always mess up when you go fast, but I got to go fast. Well, you know, my only problem is tonight, I don't know how long to take because they use my, what's that thing called? My Evo and burn my phone out. So I don't know what time it is. Amen. So, what, it's not 8:30 yet, is it? Okay, so what time is it? I know what time.
8:09.
What?
8:09.
Okay, I know which speed to go at. I can be a 33 or 45. Amen. 18 verse 1. We're going to deal with Hezekiah, and like I said, I won't go through it fast because I want to go slow enough for us to get it. Amen. So if we don't finish it this week, we'll finish it next week. Hezekiah, after the divided kingdom, amen, after Jeroboam took the 10 tribes of Israel and went north to Samaria, amen, Rehoboam took the 2 tribes, Benjamin and Judah, and went south to Jerusalem. So it was a divided kingdom. And the reason that the kingdom was divided is because Rehoboam did not choose to follow the advice of the wise men that were under his father. But he chose to follow his peers or his contemporaries. Amen. The kingdom would have never been divided if Rehoboam had followed the counsel of the wise men that knew God. Be careful who you get counsel from. Amen. Blessings of man that walketh not in the counsel of the. Well, unfortunately, amen, I don't believe Solomon had written that yet, or it had not been published. So Rehoboam took some poor counsel. And as a result of taking poor counsel, though it was God's will, the kingdom was divided. Amen. So there was king after king in Israel. And then there was king after king that ruled Judah. Amen. So all of Israel and Judah was in spiritual decadence. Amen. Not some, but all of them. Amen. Practicing idolatry. And the very thing that God had delivered them from and told them not to be a part of, they were now engrossed in it. And heavily engrossed in it. Amen. So that brings us up to Hezekiah verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 3rd year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. So he was 25, he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, which would have made him 54. Amen. Now these numbers are kind of important as we go along a little later. Just remember, he started reigning at 25, and he reigned 29 years. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was
right.
He was a good man. Amen. Sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Now, he did something that none of the other kings had the spiritual courage to do prior to him. It said he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Now, the brazen serpent, remember when Israel they were out and they were start complaining and murmuring so much against God, and the serpents came up and started biting them, and they were just dying. They were just dying. They were all being killed. So God said, well, make a brazen serpent and put it on the pole. He said, whenever anyone gets bit, if they look at this brazen serpent on the pole, he said, they will live. Amen? Well, the very thing that God used to deliver the people, they're now worshiping him. Danger in church. When God delivered you from something, don't worship that. Don't make that a God. Amen. So the very thing that God had used to worship, now they had to destroy, because the people made that a God. God put certain things in our lives for deliverance. Don't worship that. We pray for certain things. Don't worship those things, and we'll find out, even as great as Hezekiah was, late in his years, God used his blessing of deliverance to test him. Amen? Mm-hmm. And we won't get to that tonight, but we'll go in next week. And it says, verse 5, he trusted the Lord God of Israel. Now listen to these credentials. A great man of God. Even in our greatness, we are tested. Even in our greatness, we are tested. Look at these credentials. Now, I can't even measure up to half of them. He said he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among
all the kings of
Israel. Now, after him, there was none. He said, nor any that were
before him.
Now, you're not talking about the unified kingdom that David reigned. He's talking about Judah. He said, now, this is Hezekiah. There was nobody before him or nobody like him afterwards. He was unique. He was special. He was a godly man unto God. Amen? For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now all the other kings, amen, they just paid tribute to the king of Assyria. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Well, you, now that you're in the throne, just follow the same steps that everybody else has followed. Amen. Not with God. He was different. How many of us tonight in God has purpose to be different? Lord, I would love to have those kind of credentials. Then you can say he trusted the Lord. Do you know what it means to cleave unto something? That means nothing can pull you apart from it. Amen. So Hezekiah started the first spiritual revival in Israel and Judah, because everybody else was decadent. They were just going the wrong way. The first one that had the courage to be different. Amen. And because he had the courage to be different, God honored it. And he said, everywhere he went, the Lord was with him, and he caused him to prosper. So then every kingdom, every king, every Israelite, every Judah had some opposition. Whenever there was something good, there was always another empire that stood in opposition. Amen. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, it was the Egyptian Empire. Amen. If we go all the way back to Noah's days, then it was the Babylonian Empire. Amen. So there was always an ungodly empire that worked in opposition to godliness.
All right.
Amen. So right now we come up to Hezekiah, and this is the Assyrian Empire, amen, under Sennacherib. They began to taunt the people of God. They besieged the city. When they besieged it, they locked the city up, trying to starve them to death so nothing could come out and so nothing could come in. So they had besieged the city of God just to fill in up. I'm going to skip down to 37, but to fill in up to 37. They had besieged the city of God, and they were taunting the people. They said, oh, you trust in the Lord. Don't trust in the Lord. That man, King Hezekiah, he's taking away all your gods. Because they were dealing with the idols, okay? That brings us up to 37. After they threatened King Hezekiah and said, listen, none of the other kings, at this time, even Israel had been destroyed. The Assyrians had taken over Israel and taken them back. Back to Babylon and had put their people in the city. Even the 10 tribes had been destroyed. Amen. So the only remnant left was Judah. So they said, well, Israel trusted in God. Look what happened to Israel. Said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you talking about trusting in God. You got to watch people that try to challenge you and your God. Watch people when they try to challenge you and your God. So when they came to speak to Hezekiah and the men that were on the wall, they started speaking in the Jewish language. And Hezekiah represented them and said, oh, don't speak to us in that language. We understand. Speak to us in your language. They said, no, we want the people to hear, because they wanted to use fear, amen, to govern them. So that brings us up to 37. And you all can read in between. Amen. 37 said, then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the word of Rabshakeh. Amen. So when the clothes are rent, that's a sign of trouble. Amen. And verse 3. Go to verse 3. Oh, not 3. Oh, not 30. 38, I think. Go to 38. Go to 2 Kings 19:1. All right, go to 19:1. That's why I think 37 is the last verse. All right, 19:1. All right, it says, and it came to pass when Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and went where?
To the
house of the Lord. When it was time for trouble, Hezekiah did the right thing. Amen. In seeking deliverance, he went where?
To God.
Tonight, the first step we need to do in going towards perfection is we need help, go right to God. Okay, he went to the house of God. Let's skip down to verse 6. And he made a petition, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Amen. In between that, they go back, he sent the three of them to Isaiah. The situation was urgent. Amen. And Isaiah speaks, he said, well, don't even pay no attention to that, because they blaspheme God. Amen. When you go against God, you're in trouble. He said, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and he shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And go down to verse 10. They sent another message, because the first message didn't reach Hezekiah and didn't have the right impact. They sent him another message. Amen. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not the God in whom thou trustest
deceive
thee. Now, amen. When we trust in God, you don't have to worry about being deceived. But now they're playing in their minds the same tactic that the adversary tries to use against the church. He can't get us any other way, so now he starts playing in the playgrounds of our mind. Amen. Say, oh, no, don't you actually believe that? Don't let that deceive you. Amen. Who do you really have confidence? Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of
reward.
So now they're taunting him with the very God of his deliverance. Amen. He says, let not God on whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Now they got to turn. Now they got a nerve to insult God. They say, have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? And he named all of the gods that they destroyed. Amen. Verse 13 says, where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad? Verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went back to God. Amen. See, the devil wants to see, he wants to prove us, he's going to test you. So Hezekiah prayed the first time, he said, I don't believe that prayer. So I'm going to come back and insult you, amen, and try to intimidate you again. How many know all the devil can do is intimidate us? Because God has a barrier. God has a limitation. And he can only go so far. Amen. So I don't care what the threats are. If God says enough is enough. When God says it's finished, it's finished. Amen. So they're trying to intimidate him with words. That's what the devil does in our lives. Nothing has happened, but it's the intimidation. Amen. Because we're not going to spiritual perfection and we've lost our spiritual equilibrium. When you lose your equilibrium, everything sounds funny, sounds bad. Amen. So like when they're playing music here and they're trying to get the praise team to sing, they lose their equilibrium, everything sounds bad. Amen. I mean, we should be able to identify with that. We just went through that. So we can all identify with that, right? Amen. When that's off, it sounds bad. Well, that's what the devil tries to do to the church in all of our lives. He intimidates us. Nothing has happened, but he works on your mind. So what are they doing? They haven't shot an arrow. They haven't done anything. They're just shooting words of insult, trying to intimidate. Tonight, how many had nothing really happened, but you have been intimidated and backed into a corner because of a whole lot of words? Amen?
Amen.
How many are backed in the corner? Stop fighting, stop standing for God because of words. God is not intimidated by words. Amen? Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou, thank you, Jesus, I don't need no other God but my God, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made. Say, I don't know about them other gods. I don't know about them. He said, but thou art God alone. What praise he say, I am God alone. Even for time again, I was on my throne. The heavens and earth. I don't know what they're talking about, but I know who I have confidence in. Tonight, don't lose your confidence in God. Amen. He says, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and
hear.
You know what I said? This ungodly king, amen, is blaspheming you, who is our God. He said, open your eyes, open your ears, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent
reproach.
You are all right with you, man. It's all right to mess with a man. Amen. But now you messing with, he's not just God, he's a what? There's a whole lot of other gods. But there's one living God. Amen. He said, you were all right before. Now you messing with the real thing. This is the living God.
Amen.
Of a truth, the Lord, the kings of Assyria, have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were
no gods.
That's why they lost. Amen. You have to have confidence in God. But the works of men's hand, wood and stone, therefore they have
destroyed
them. Now therefore, Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of their hand. Verse 20, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Nineveh, king of Assyria, he said, I have heard it. Amen. That's important that God hears. He said, what you prayed, he said, I have heard it. Amen. Let's go down to verse 32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come. Now, the devil has been doing all that taunting and intimidating. God said, now you pray to me, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Amen. That's why you got to have God on your side. Outnumbered, amen, have no choice, no chance, no hope. With God, you always got hope. He said, therefore says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a. You know, he's talking about what he's going to do. God said, now I'm about to get involved.
All right.
Please get God involved. Right. Whatever your situation is, don't. I believe Paul Warren said, Lord, don't do it without me. Amen. Whatever you do, don't do it without the Lord. Keep God involved. He says, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for David's, my servant's sake.
All right.
When David wanted to build God a house back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, when David wanted to build God a house, he said, no, David, I'm going to make you a house. He said, and from this point on, every one of your seed will be on the throne all the way up to Christ the Messiah. So though the king of Assyria had a plan, he could not violate God's plan because his word is immutable and cannot be changed, cannot be altered. So he said, God sent this message to Hezekiah. He said, you can stand on this because I made David a promise. And my promises are sure and they are steadfast. Amen. So though he's taunting you, though he's trying to intimidate you, stand on my promises. Verse 35 says, and it came to pass. See, when God says he's going to do something, he don't have to wait till next year.
Right.
If we have the right confidence, he said, it came to pass when? That night, that the angel of the Lord went out and spoke in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. That's when God's fighting your battles.
Right.
Amen. He said, you don't have to do anything. God said, I got this.
Right.
Anybody believe God got this? Whatever the this is in your life? Yes. Do you believe God got this?
Man.
Amen. He said, well, you don't have to do anything. He said, first of all, they won't shoot an arrow. He said, then they're going to come to the city. And God said, and let you know that night. Not the next night. That very same night, he went out into the host of the Assyrians and slew 185. What up with all that big man talk? Amen. About how all the other gods couldn't do. Because they didn't know who the true and the living God was.
Right.
That night, he slew 185,000. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So the next morning, there were nothing but dead corpses everywhere. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of his God that Adramelech and Sharezer, his sons, his own sons, came and killed him to take away the reproach. Amen. Why? Because God was involved. Now we're going to go to 20 verse 1. What time is it now?
32 after.
Okay, amen. We'll stop there. Praise the Lord. Then next week we'll pick it up. I can't rush. Amen.
Amen.
But what do we find? Because Hezekiah and Judah relied on the Lord. Amen. They were not intimidated by the words of the king Sennacherib. And God made them a promise that he was going to be with them. And how did he back up the promise? He went out that night and killed 185,000. Now that's not probable. Amen, right? That's not probable. What's the likelihood that men lay down and get ready to get up, lay down that night to get up the next day to fight, and God comes in and slays 185,000. 185,000 funerals in one night. They had so many people, all they could do was leave them down the rock. There was no way to even get them back to Assyria. Amen. So Sennacherib ran back. His sons were so insulted by this victory that they killed him. So God didn't have to do anything. Amen. When the devil is fighting you, stand on God's word. Stand on God's promises. Amen. Do not lose your confidence in who? God. Now, we're having these kind of messages because I think some of our faith is getting shaken. Amen. Some of us are beginning to walk on the shaky ground. And God is trying to tell you, look, you can lose hope in everything else. You can even lose hope in me because I'm just a man. But don't you lose hope in God. You can lose hope in everything, but do not lose hope in God. Amen. Say, hold the beginning of your confidence steadfast until the what? End. Hold the beginning, as we stand, of your confidence. Well, who's the confidence in? Because your confidence in God has great recompense. And God will reward you. Amen. The next time those fleeting thoughts go through your mind about the devil trying to make you doubt God, God is God alone. Amen. And there's no other God like our God. Said, Lord, I've heard of you. Job said, by the hearing of the ear. Amen. How has anybody seen what God has done? Have you seen miracles that he's performed in your life? As the ministers come forward, have you seen ways that God has made out of no way? It's time to trust God. Amen. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense.